Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, we're glad to have you with us. My name is Mark Clifton, and across the table from me is...
Mark Allen.
And next to the table on the...
Jimbo Stewart.
Next to me on the table is what I meant to say.
I'm not on the table, but I am next, I'm sitting next to you.
Jimbo is standing on the table.
Jimbo is on the table. Jimbo is here helping take the place of Dan Hurst, who is away doing a bunch of great movie trailers and commercials and stuff like that.
But Dan, maybe I'll get to do that next.
Maybe you will. But Dan will be back with us soon. We love having Dan, but we love having Jimbo here with us. He helps keep us on track. And we really have Jimbo here today because Jimbo wrote this article that we're going to talk about today. Jimbo, introduce it to us, please.
All right. So we've got five suggestions for regaining your joy in hard seasons of ministry.
You mean sometimes we actually lose our joy in hard seasons of ministry?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
We even talked about it a few episodes ago, how there's so many things that make pastoral ministry hard, and there are some seasons that are just really, really hard, and where it becomes difficult to even want to show up and do what you're supposed to do.
I have wanted sometimes to pull the fire alarm so I don't have to hear myself preach on Sunday morning. It has gotten that bad.
Yeah, and when you have several of those Sundays in a row, that's pretty rough.
Yeah,
I have had those.
Yeah.
I have had those. I really have.
It gets to be really difficult.
I know. It does. And so we all face that more than we would like to admit. And so how do you recover your joy? That's an important topic.
Yeah. So, with enough time, with enough hardships, it's easy for any pastor to lose their zeal, slowly shift from being a bold pastoral leader to kind of a hospice chaplain. Let me just keep things going and not mess anything up.
And we get burned.
Yeah.
We get burned and we get hurt. And, when I was in college decades and decades ago, I don't think they would do this anymore, but they had this little video, the movie they showed of what they did with these chickens, and they'd put these... You already laughing, aren't you?
It's hard not to, bud. It's hard not to.
This was college level stuff, all right?
I was like, what college did you go to again?
Well, I went to college. So anyway,
it was agricultural.
We put these two chickens, and they were two different like pens, and there was like this little maze they had to go to get to the food, right? And so they were on one end of the maze, and the food was on the other. And for the first few times, we just let them go, and they'd find their way and get the food. No big deal. And then they started putting electric shocks at different places. I don't think you could do that anymore, but we did then. They started putting electric shocks in the different places of the maze. And on one chicken, the electric shocks were always at the same location. On the other chicken, they changed every time the chicken went out. So the chicken where the electric shocks were always the same, eventually that chicken figured out where they were, avoided them, and when the time came, he could go right from his side to the food and back without getting shocked. No problem. The other one became so terrified by the electric shocks that if we had not fed him, he would have starved to death.
Wow.
Mm. Now, what's the point of that?
Boy.
I don't really know.
No, I get it.
That was a great story. No, it's good.
No, the point is, if you don't know where the next pain's coming from, you end up just not doing anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's true with a lot of pastors. We don't know where is the next hurt come from? Where's the next adversary?
Who's going to come after me?
Who's going to come after me now? Yeah. So eventually, I just stay put and I don't do anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of us are.
Yeah. All right, so we've got five suggestions here on if you're in that season, how you can regain your joy. Halleck, what's number one?
That chicken could also play tic-tac-toe. He could.
Listen.
We could take him to fairs, and people would bet, and we could make money with that chicken played. It was the craziest thing.
I just right now want a T-shirt with that chicken's head on it.
Somebody, please.
He could also sit in the front seat of the truck, and he could change the station with his beak by hitting the...
I mean, you've never seen a chicken quite like this chicken.
Everyone. Okay.
He had a lot better Sunday than you did.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. The chicken episode. Okay. Number one, finding joy. Okay, this is good. Find a scripture passage to anchor yourself in the power of God and his call on your life. Actually, you need to talk about this, Jimbo, because I've heard you talk about this. Yeah, just tell us what yours are.
So mine are Psalm 46 and then Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Psalm 46, you know, in verse 1, it's about the Lord being our refuge. And then we know in verse 10 that it's be still. And that idea of be still can easily be translated as cease striving, stop fighting, and know that God is God and you're not. Like this, don't try to bear. I have to remind myself, don't try to bear the weight of something that's not mine to bear. Lay that down at the feet of Jesus. And then Ephesians 3, 20, 21, just knowing that, look, he's capable of doing far more abundant than I could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't need me, or he doesn't need me to be, perfect, doesn't need me to be able to do everything exactly right. But the Lord's got this, and he will, in Psalm 46, he will be exalted among the nations.
Yes, amen.
Our friend Frank Lewis says that, you know, when you go through a storm obediently following Jesus, one of the things you need is a scripture.
Yeah.
And so, guys, the time to find that scripture is before the wind starts to blow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right now, I mean, find a scripture that you can hold on to. Mm-hmm. And it may change over time.
Yep.
But what is your scripture for this season? That if you woke up tomorrow or before the end of the day today, if something slaps you upside the head you weren't prepared for, you could immediately just bring that scripture to heart, bring that scripture to mind, and hold on tight to that scripture.
Yep.
I think that's really important.
So find a scripture. I love that. I love number two also. It's find a song that calls you back to the heart of God and increases your affection for him.
Yeah, and
find
just
a song
and listen to it if you need to. I mean, I don't really sing very well, and I can't play instruments hardly at all. But I do have ear pods, and I do have a phone, and I've got a playlist on my phone, and I've got two or three songs that when I'm really down and really discouraged, I will listen to those.
That's where you go.
And that's where I go. Music is an amazing thing God designed to really imprint our heart. How many of you guys listening to me right now, how many of you as pastors have been with people at the point of death? They've been in hospice for a few days or whatever. Maybe they're really elderly people. Maybe they've been in dementia for years, and now they're really within hours or days of passing away. They don't really communicate to their family at all. But then you go in there and you start to sing a hymn, or they put a CD player on and they start to play a hymn. How many times have we seen that person react to that? That person that seemed completely almost comatose. Maybe mouth the words to the song, or their eyes were open. There's something about those songs that are imprinted in our heart and our mind. Don't ever lose sight of the power of music.
That's right.
To go help you through these things.
Jimbo, you've shared, I know, I'd love for you to share a little bit. I know you went through a really tough season several years ago, and you even taught yourself. Maybe you could share about that.
Yeah, so I needed as much, so the scripture passages that I would meditate on, and I felt I needed a song, and the song I chose was Lord, I Need You. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to it, but I would find myself, I just needed to vocalize it, and I am not, look, everybody in my house can sing except for me. and so I would go to the sanctuary when nobody was in there, and I just learned basic piano chords and learned how to play. I mean, I'm sure my tempo was wrong. I'm sure all of that was, but I would just sit and cry out to the Lord using the piano and my voice. And I really hope there's not security camera footage of that anywhere. but I would just sing out, Lord, I need you.
I love
like,
that.
You're my only hope.
Yes.
And I can't do this without you. And so even to this day, every time I hear that song, it takes me back to how the Lord stood with me and held me in those times.
Amen.
And brought me back to him.
I love that, man. I love that. Here's number three. Collect mentors like baseball cards. You need people who will speak truth in love to you, encourage you, and challenge you. Find a balance of people who are accessible and people you can read or watch from a distance.
Yeah, talk about that. What's the difference? Why both of those? Why is one different than the other?
I think one, you need somebody you can interact with, people that are there, that are a little further down the field from you, that you can take situations to them and say, man, here's the situation I'm in, and here's what I need to know. There was a mentor of mine that I was maybe 9 months to a year post some really difficult things in our church, and things were going well, but I was still struggling. And man, he really spoke into my life so much in that time, in practical wisdom, biblical wisdom, helping me know what to do. But I think also, one, that guy's not accessible 24/7, and he doesn't have all the answers. And to be honest, and he didn't so far, but in today's world, he might have a great moral failure.
Yeah, no.
And so there's something secure and wise and safe about collecting some mentors, one that are already dead that you can read, and you can read everything about them, people that can speak into you, but also people that you listen to from a distance. I mean, honestly, early on, both of you guys, both of you Marks, were some of those guys for me in that season. Mm-hmm. I was reading everything that you were writing. Mm-hmm. I was finding all those things so I could hear from people who have done what I was doing. Yeah, yeah. And could, at that point in my life, you, neither of you were accessible to me, mm-hmm. but I could learn so much from you already just by pulling things that you wrote and you recorded and where you spoke. And so I think you need, that's why I always say collect like baseball cards.
I
like,
love that, man.
Like you can't just have one mentor mm-hmm. that's your everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is your everything.
That's right.
And he gives you people here on this planet that just help you get through the day and give you wisdom that God has given them.
That is so good, man.
We're talking about how to find joy as a pastor when you've lost your joy, which means, you know, about every Monday. And so you find Sunday night. You find a scripture and cling on to that. You yep. find a song and cling on to that. Yep. You collect mentors like baseball cards.
That's right.
Both living ones and dead ones, and close by and far away. And number four, you set some goals and you get accountability for them.
Mm.
And especially think quarterly. Mm. That's really a wonderful way to look at it. Rather than thinking annually, what's the benefit, yeah. Jimbo, of thinking every 12 weeks?
I think if you can think in quarters or 12 weeks, it gives you something that is attainable and not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. What kind of goals are you talking about?
So when I talk about goals, some of the things I talk to guys about is you should have goals for your leadership. You should have goals for the health of your church as a body, whether that be the systems in your church or whether that be discipleship in your church. And then there should be missiological goals. And so you could really look at it as leadership, ecclesiological, missiological. This is something Brandon Moore and I have talked about mm-hmm. a lot together, that if you could take those three categories. So one of the things I'll say is when I work with guys on how to set goals and how to, you do 90 days and you set at least one in each of those three categories, leadership, ecclesiological, and missiological. And then you need to set
We'll back up a minute. So yeah. Leadership goal, what would that look like?
So a leadership goal for you may be skilling up in an area that you need to skill up in.
Me personally, you're talking about me? Talk to your boss this way? This is a hidden way of telling me. This is a hidden way of telling me what I need to do. Is that the whole point of this podcast?
No.
All right.
No.
I'm just checking.
The pastor listening.
You've got all the skills.
All right. No leveling up needed
for
you.
There you go.
But as a pastor, as a leader, you may want to skill up. You may have people in your leadership team, you have goals, something to do with the leadership of the church in general.
So how could I be better at discovering and equipping volunteers?
Discovering and equipping volunteers. So in a 90 days, I would want to know where you're at and say, okay, let's make a list of 10 people that you need to have a conversation yeah. with about volunteering. Yeah. So, and over the next 90 days, you're going to have those 10 conversations, and we're going to come back and talk about that.
So that would be my own leadership skills. How can I become better at encouraging and equipping leaders? Number two, you said
ecclesiological.
There you go.
Yeah.
Church stuff.
Yeah, so that's either like how do we become healthier as a church in our systems as big as bylaws or anything like that, or how do we become healthier as a church in, you know, one of the things I think would be healthier as a church is if we could move to more scripture-guided worship.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And so something that makes anything in that realm that makes us healthier as a church.
Okay.
But then the third arena is missiological. How are we re-engaging our community in a better way?
So every 12 weeks, look at your life and say, as a pastor, you know, how can I do better as a leader? How can our church do better? Mm-hmm. And how can we do better in terms of our missionary encounter? And think about that's great.
So here's the key thing I would add to that, though, is two more. You need two low-hanging fruit, easy wins.
Okay.
Because you need those for you. Because you may not accomplish all three of your other goals.
That's true.
So you need two things that you know.
And that could be in any area of your life.
Just something that you can go, and especially if it's something that you can celebrate with the church.
Yeah.
Something that you can take before the church and go, hey, look what we did over the last 90 days.
My wife is a list maker. You guys got list makers in your house?
Oh, yeah, my wife's.
She's got lists. Either there's always one on the kitchen cabinet, one on the bathroom cabinet, you know, like that kind of thing. I don't do that. What I do is I take a look at my day and see what I did, and then I wrote these things down and then check them off. So that's how I. That's
I was going to say, you're not a list maker.
No, I'm not a list maker. But it's amazing. They all get checked off, you know? I get 100%.
Every day.
You know, and by the way, if you put on your wife's list, if you put, like, write a sweet love note to your husband and put it in his suitcase, it doesn't.
It's probably not going to do
it. It doesn't get done. I'm just telling you. You can try that, but it doesn't get done. All right.
Okay, we're at number five, guys. Number five, the fifth thing. This is good. Celebrate something every day.
Yeah.
God is up to more than you can imagine. That's true. Ask him to give you eyes to see it and celebrate it when you do. Celebrate something with your whole congregation every time you meet. Joy is contagious. That's so true.
Yeah, I tell you what. That, you know, it's hard in a church that's declining and having troubles, but there's something always to celebrate. God's at work. I was in a little rural church a few weeks ago preaching. And I think it was a great experience. I enjoyed the little church, but it's struggling. But they have an interim pastor. And, you know, he just stood there in front and said, they sang a hymn or two. And he said, okay, we're going to, now who's got something good that God has done for them this week?
Mm.
And at first I thought, oh, that's sweet. That's so old church and country, you know, isn't that? I haven't heard that in years. But then somebody just said, you know, my daughter got a job and we've been praying about that. And then somebody else said, you know, my son, he's gotten better from his struggle with this particular disease he's having. And so I'm going, these people are really celebrating something mm-hmm, here. I mean, mm-hmm. this it was a culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like we come together every Sunday morning and God's done something good in our lives that weekend.
I love it, man.
And I thought that is really cool.
That is. Yeah.
Well, it's so easy to just operate in a critical spirit, especially once you've lost your joy.
Yeah.
When you've lost your passion, you've lost your joy, you start to become an Eeyore, and it's like everything's bad, everything's horrible.
Yep.
Mark, talk about how you've cultivated, because it's kind of part of your brand as a person, you've really cultivated joy as a high priority.
Well, man, I just think the core of it is cultivating a deeper love for the Lord. I mean, because joy is not something, I mean, you can try to fake it, but you can't fake it for long. And so this is where I just come back to John 15 when Jesus talks about abide in me.
Mm.
I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from you, for me, you can do nothing. Yes, that's true in bearing fruit. One of those fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is joy. And I just feel like, so one is, am I fighting for my joy in the Lord? Am I fighting for my joy in the Lord? And that's a fight against my flesh. Here's another thing. Honestly, I want to be around joy givers, man.
Yeah.
Honestly. Listen, ministry's hard enough. It's hard to be around joy suckers all the time that suck the joy. This is why friendship's so important. Even if you got friends, like you guys are two of my best friends. And I don't see you tons, but man, I know every time we're together, it's going to be a joy bomb for me.
You know, I think, frankly, we don't understand, those of us who are now on the Replant, Revitalization, and Rural team at the North American Mission Board, about half of us are full-time, about half of us are part-time. But we all live all over the place. We live clear across the nation. I mean, everywhere from Southern California to Key West, to North Carolina, all over the place. But we do enjoy each other, right?
Yeah.
And so whenever we all get together or just a few of us get together, or even it's on Tuesday mornings when we Zoom together, we have a really good time.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, guys, we forget what it's like to be a pastor and not have that kind of camaraderie, that kind of brotherhood with other pastors. Yeah. Sometimes there's this sort of competitiveness in our own town that it's not really there. And I really feel one of the greatest joys I have in this job is not only encouraging pastors all across North America, but being with you guys. And I just wish every pastor had a group of friends that they could be vulnerable with and have fun with and be cared for like we do. I said last night, you know, we were at the Southern Baptist Convention when we were doing these podcasts right now. And I know that was months ago, but that's what we're doing it live here. And we got together last night and just had a good time. And I just remarked last night, I think those of us on this team will one day look back and say these were some of the best years of our lives because of the relationships that we have. So, Pastor, find ways to invest in relationships.
Yeah.
You need these brotherhoods. They will. The Lord will use them to sustain you in ways that nothing else can.
And I think what is cool, I just want to say, is these friends may be guys that are not in your town. I mean, this is what's cool about technology.
Yeah.
Is, and I would say, man, if you've got a brother who's on the other side of the country that you love and you really enjoy, but you don't talk much.
Yeah.
Man, get that thing going again.
Right, right.
You know, reach out to them and say, man, honestly, I would love to just talk more.
Just like weekly plan a Zoom.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Do whatever it takes. Yeah, fight for your joy.
Absolutely. That's good.
Good word. All right, man. Well, you know how to do it now, so there's no excuse for any of you to be unhappy from this point on. This podcast has single-handedly solved the joy problem in the lives of all pastors. No, it hasn't. But it's an ongoing battle, and I think these are excellent ways, great tools that we can use to find our joy. Because, listen, you have to fight, as Mark Halleck said, we have to fight for our joy. Battle daily for it. One day, you won't have to battle for it anymore. One day, it'll be natural. It'll be... One day we'll be with the Lord, and it'll be nothing but joy. Mm. But that day is not today. Hey, and one day you won't have to subscribe to this podcast, but that day is not today either. So go ahead and subscribe, because every time you subscribe, an angel gets his wings. So
10 episodes a month.
We would love to have you do that. All right, see you later.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.